Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody here, Awaken and Central, the real church, amen. So why don't you stand with us as we join together in worship.
Thank you. sound here. There we go. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad he paid it all? Come on, let him know you're thankful for him paying the price that you could not pay. He paid the price that you could not pay, and because of that, we have salvation. We've been set free from the bondage of sin. Praise God. Welcome to Awaken and Central Baptist Church. Both churches meeting under the same roof today. Let me ask you to have a seat and get a little comfortable for right now. We'll get you a little more uncomfortable in a minute. But I just want to welcome each and every one of you here today, and thank you for being here. We've got a special speaker here today, Bill Wilkes, going to be talking today about what it really truly means to be a disciple maker and a disciple of Christ. Now, that's what we've been charged. You know, he paid it all so that we can do that, so we can be disciple makers. And I'm excited about today. I'm excited about what God has in store for us. I will say that today we're going to, if you're visiting with us today, and for those of you at Central, how we start church is this. We want to go into corporate prayer. I believe in corporate prayer. I believe the church should include it. And what I mean by that is this. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. But before we pray, you'll have an opportunity to pray there in your seat silently to the Lord, lifting all of our hearts up over a topic. And we have to, the topic we're choosing today, and we'll be choosing for several weeks and maybe in several months, who knows how long, is from Western North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. Folks, it is horrible what's happened up there, and it's sad to know that so many lives have been destroyed, but I want you to know something. Listen, nothing gets by God. Nothing happens without going through God's hands first, and God knows what he's doing, and there are great things that are happening right now Western North Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. And lives are being changed. Revival is actually breaking up. Someone sent me a picture of a revival that is taking place where people got saved and were baptizing in the same waters that flooded their town. That's amazing. Yeah, that's awesome. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is I'm going to ask you to go to the Lord in prayer right where you sit. Just pray and ask God to be with those folks that are up there. Be with the rescue efforts that are taking place, even the efforts that we're going to be doing. We already did something yesterday. Our Awaken did. Essential's doing something, and we need to respond. But be praying for all the efforts. You know who's making the? You know who's making a difference? Thank you. That microphone throw it away. You know who's making a difference? Not the government, but the faith community. The faith community is what's making a difference right now. We need to continue. This is going to be a long haul. So I want to ask you, everyone in this room, to bow your heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Pray for this situation. Pray for what's going on. And pray for, you might even know people up there. And pray that God be with them and bless them, and the church will continue to respond. Then Pastor Roy is going to give you time to pray. Then he's going to pray. And then he's going to share a couple words because of, you know, he actually drives Mana One, which is Baptist Own Mission's disaster relief truck. And he'll tell you a little bit about what he saw when he was up there. So you go to Lord in prayer right now. Boy, you give him about a minute to pray, and then you word our prayer. Come on up here, Roy.
Father, we come to you today in the stillness and the quietness in which you move. Lord, today we think about those who have just been devastated by the disaster that has taken place, not only in North Carolina, Father, but many places from the Gulf North. Lord, those today who've lost every material possession, Their hope is gone. But Lord, I'm thankful that through Jesus, there's always hope. Lord, I thank you for what is taking place and for what is going on and the revivals that people don't know anything about. Lord, I thank you that you call us to be your hands and your feet. God, I pray that we don't do anything to draw attention to ourselves, but Lord, that we would rather represent you as your hands, your feet. Father, you've given us a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. Lord, just help us not to blow it. Help us, Father, to empower those that are there with boots on the ground. Lord, give us a call in our heart to be able to go and be used by you. But Lord, most of all, even as I lift this prayer to you, there are those who still haven't had a meal in over a week. There are those who are wondering where their family members are. And Lord, I pray that somehow you would speak into their heart. Lord, I pray that somehow you would straighten the crooked path. And Lord, I pray that somehow today they will see you. Lord, we're in a situation we can't do but so little, but you can do so much. So Lord, I'm praying that you would just rise to the prayers of your children. I think of the times that Moses cried out for your children. Today we cry out for your children. Lord, we ask for provision, for safety. We ask for those that just need to hear a voice today, that they would hear from you. And Lord, we realize that in a situation we can do absolutely nothing about, you can do everything. And Lord, I'm grateful to know that you are there. You're in the midst of the floodwaters. You're in the midst of the carnage and the devastation. Lord, may everybody there see you and reach out to you. That, Lord, the greatest revival that the United States ever had starts in Western North Carolina and continues to go forward. So, Lord, God, help us to be what you want us to be in this time of need. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I just wanted to share just for a moment because it's something that touches me very near and dear. I know Pastor Jim had mentioned it, but myself and Jim McDonald, there are five heavy haul operators with North Carolina Baptist on Mission. In other words, we take their tractor trailer trucks, their mass feeding units, their bunk houses, any of the big equipment that they need to put in place. So two-fifths of the drivers are located pretty much on this property where they serve the Lord, and we're grateful for that. We've had an opportunity last week to actually carry the mass feeding unit called Manna One up to Marion, and it's not Asheville. Everybody hears about Asheville. Everybody knows about the Biltmore, but there are so many places that are in the outlying areas that are often forgotten. And Marion was one of those places. And thanks be to God for a church there who said, we've got property. We don't have power, but here we are. So we had that opportunity to roll up there and set that unit up, which actually prepares and serves 30,000 meals a day. It accommodates 60 workers in that. And people from the community are coming there to hear in Jesus' name. Yesterday, Jim and I had to go down to Southport and pick up a bunk trailer that was down there and carry it. We were supposed to stage it in Shelby, but we wound up going actually to Waynesville, which is west of Asheville. So we've seen a lot of that devastation. We put a trailer in places trailers aren't supposed to go. So if you've ever been in the mountains of Western North Carolina, it takes two people to just watch to go around some curves to get things there. But it was so interesting what I saw, because when we left Southport and we were heading west, I can't tell you how many people were just blowing the horn, leaning out windows, going like this, pointing west. And on the side of that truck, it says, Baptist on Mission, Disaster Relief. I see something changing. I see hearts changing. I see a post 9/11 attitude that is taking place. I see so many people who are wanting to help. May this be a springboard that brings the hope of Christ in the hearts and lives of these people. Folks have shown up to these sites who have nothing but the clothes on their back and their families. And to see, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, to see some of our little old ladies say, let us give you a hot meal. And while you're having that hot meal, let me do your laundry for you. And by the way, if you'd like to, there's a shower trailer over here. Oh, and when you think about this, while you're taking your shower, is there anybody that we need to contact from your family? Because we've got communications set up, satellite communications on all these places. How can I serve you in the name of Jesus? It hurts my heart. That's an area of compassion. And in fact, even today, Jim and I got back at 4:00 this morning. Jim is back out now. He's got to go pick up another trailer and take it to a place so people can serve. There are going to be ways that you can serve. Thank you for what you are doing, Awaken Church and Central Baptist Church. Those needs are going to be years to come. Do not forget these people in the next couple of weeks. They're going to need help for a long, long time. And we need to be there to be that voice. Not just to say, let me help you with your house, but let me help you with your house in the name of Jesus. I love what I got a chance to say to somebody that said, thank you so much for coming to my town to help my people. And I got the chance to say this. Well, I just went where the Lord sent me. So the Lord heard your cry. And that's why we're here. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. He hears your prayers. He hears your cry. And here's your meal that He has provided. Guys, there's ways that you can get involved. Pastor Jim will let Awaken know. We'll be letting Central know how you can help out, not only now, but also in the future. I do want to say this, and then we'll continue our time to worship. I know that there are a lot of people who have the compassion and you want to go. Please, please, please talk to one of us. Make sure that you are aligned with an affiliation that is approved to go up there, because if not, you will be turned around going into places. You need to understand that. We have law enforcement that are there working 12-hour shifts, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank God for them. Don't get mad at them when they tell you that you cannot go past this particular point. They're not trying to deceive the people or anything to that nature. They're not trying to keep things away from the people, but not everybody who goes there with the right, pure, and compassionate heart. Make sure that you align yourself with somebody, because the thing about it was, when we rolled up there from the North Carolina Baptist men, they moved barriers and just waved us through. Let's do it the right way. Don't get upset. Don't let your compassion fall. But let's make sure that we do it in a way that the people will know that we're representing Christ. Let's support those that are working to comfort those and protect those that are in those areas. It's going to be a big future, and God has given us a great opportunity. And may we seize that opportunity. But for now, what I want to ask you to do is just stand where you are. We're going to continue to praise and worship our Lord as Marcus comes and leads us.
You know, I saw something yesterday on social media, and it was a picture of a little white church, and it had mud coming out of the panels, right? I mean, the doors were knocked off, but in spray paint on a big sheet, it said Church Sunday at 11 a.m. And it was just awesome because it's not a building that our God is in. It's the people. So how great is our God? Amen. No boundaries can hold him and nothing can contain him, even the grave. So let's sing this. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Come on, church, raise your voices. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. You're the name above all names, name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God.
Come on, proclaim that this morning.
The name above all names,
and you are
worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God.
How great.
Just sing it one more time, just your voices.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Thank you. sound of his voice and sees it all shaking and stirred. Keep me calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. With my soul. Father, we thank you so much that we all get to be here this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that throughout this morning and throughout this week, we just keep our eyes and our minds open to what you have for us to receive, and that you move through us this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Wow. Thank you, Sadie and Praise Team, for that last song, for all the music. But man, that's Pastor Roy. If you look at him, he's got tears all over his face. He said he just got his sermon. He just got his sermon. So let me just introduce you. This is Bill Wilkes, the founder and creator of D-Life. And he's got his beautiful wife, Rondi. I mean, she was taking over someone's job. She was back there welcoming. I walked up and said, are you new here? But she was welcoming, and I appreciate all of you being here today. Bill and his wife traveled up all the way from Alabama. He's grieving today. If you're a football fan, you know what I'm talking about. So
I needed that song. It is well. I needed that today. It wasn't well.
So, hey, just Austin, you're going to be running his slides for him. I'm not sure if you knew it. Okay, very good. Guys, thank you. Thank you for being here. We are so excited about you being here this morning and then for boot camp later today. So, my brother, speak to our hearts and bring us God's word.
Awesome, awesome. What a great time of worship this morning. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. That was so moving. And thank you, Pastor Roy, Pastor Jim. What an exciting thing it is to see two churches coming together to worship God. That's an awesome thing. That's what we've got to do. We've got to come together in these days for the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a joy to be with you. Rondi and I, we love going into churches and doing D-Life training because we make new friends everywhere we go. And we're looking forward to making some new friends today. But I pastor North Park Church in Birmingham, Alabama. I've been the pastor there for 25 years, had the joy of serving that body. And for about the last 8 years, God has given me a passion to train people how to be personal disciple makers. And that has literally taken Rondi and I all over the world. We've been training disciple makers now in so many different states, countries. And we've been up here, I think, five times in the North Carolina area doing D-Life boot camp. So I look forward to sharing the Word of God with you today. And then this afternoon, we're going to have our D-Life boot camp at 4 o'clock, I believe it starts. And we'd love for you to come back and be a part of that. And just want you to know, we've been praying. Our church back home has been praying for you guys up here and the tragedy that's happened over in the western part of your state. I put a word out to our church just about a had 2-day warning that we're going to drive a truck up with supplies, and we filled up an entire metro truck with water, diapers, diaper wipes. I mean, it was completely full, and our missions pastor and executive pastor drove that up to Biltmore Baptist Church just the other day. So the love of the country, the love of the people in Alabama is for you guys and what's going on here in your state. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, and I hope that you do, open your Bible with me to Mark chapter 3. We're going to look this morning at verses 13 through 15, and I want to share with you about living the D-Life. Now, what that means is living a lifestyle of disciple-making. So when we talk about living the D-Life, that means that you take ownership of the Great Commission, that you say, I'm going to live a life of being a disciple maker. And that's what I want to share with you about this morning. Let me begin with a question. What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose? You know, a lot of people, when they're getting ready to go to college, kids in high school, begin to think, God, what is it you want me to do with my life? Where should I go to college? What should I pursue as a career? And maybe they begin to ask that question, what is my purpose in life? But honestly, there's a lot of senior adults that still, I think, are trying to figure it out. Well, I want to tell you this morning what your purpose in life is, okay? And I know that's a bold statement, but there's going to be great authority behind the words that I share with you. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, our purpose in life is one main thing. It's two words. Make disciples. That is our purpose in life. Every born-again believer lives under the crystal clear mandate of the Great Commission. It doesn't matter what your profession is. And we are all thankful to God that we have a profession, right? That we have a job, that we can work, that we can put food on our table and have a roof over our head. But do you realize, beloved church, our profession is not our purpose? It doesn't matter what your profession is. If you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, it doesn't matter. Our purpose is to make disciples. That is what we are called to do. We have one job as a church. You know, there are a lot of memes that you'll see on social media today about people that had one job, right? And they blew it, you know? Rondi and I went to Starbucks in Birmingham, Alabama a few weeks ago. And I kid you not, I went to the drive-thru and I said, I want a dark roast grande coffee. And she said, sir, we don't have any coffee. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's do a pike place then. We'll do if you don't have dark roast, we'll do a pike place. And she said over the speaker, sir, you don't understand, we don't have any coffee. And I was looking to see if it was April. You know, I thought maybe it was April Fool's Day. I'm kind of looking at my wife like, this is Starbucks. You got one job. Your job is to sell coffee, and you don't have any coffee? Are you kidding me? That's a true story. And yet as a church, we have one job. Rondi and I have been in hundreds of churches. I think we've led 205 D-Life boot camps all over the country. We've been in Alaska and Maine and New Hampshire and Boston, all over the Bible Belt. I mean, in all the churches I go to, when I'm kind of sitting in the lobby or whatever, as I meet and greet people, I'll say, hey, what do you do here? And I'll get all kind of answers. Some of them will say, well, I'm a deacon. Others may say, well, I teach a class. Others may say, I sing on the praise team, or I play an instrument, or I drive a golf cart, or I'm a greeter. In all the churches we've been to, not yet has anybody ever looked me in the eye and said, I'm a disciple maker. That's what I do. I live a life of making and multiplying disciples. That's what I do. Beloved, we are trying to change that. The goal of D-Life is to equip common people to be Christ-like disciple makers. And I believe the key to revival is to see a grassroots global movement of common people that are making and multiplying disciples anytime, anywhere, all over the world. And that is the goal of D-Life. And we're seeing that movement happen. And we want you to join that movement. In our text this morning, Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, this is where Jesus began to model for us what it looks like to live a lifestyle of disciple making. How old was Jesus when he began his earthly ministry? 30 years old. How old was Jesus when he died on the cross for our sins? 33. Do you realize that Jesus only had 3 brief years of public ministry? And in those 3 brief years, he did a lot of good things. He performed miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. I mean, he did a lot of amazing things. But if there is one main thing that Jesus did in 3 years of public ministry, if there's one main thing he invested most of his time in, it was 12 knuckleheads, right? I mean, 12 stubborn men, 12 men that were not the sharpest knives in the drawer. They were not highly educated. They were common blue-collar men for the most part. And he invested hours and hours in training those men how to do what he did, how to make disciples. And 11 of those men turned the world upside down and started a movement that we're still meeting in today. How did they do that? They knew how to live a life of disciple making. So the main idea that I want to share with you this morning, if you want to write some notes down, the main idea of my sermon today is this. Disciple making is not a program, it's a lifestyle. And I'm ashamed to say that for many years as a pastor, I didn't get that. When I came out of school for being a pastor, they taught me how to lead discipleship programs. And for many years, I tried to do my best at leading discipleship programs. And for the most part, all of the programs that I led never multiplied. There was no multiplication. And after a while of looking at that and figuring out, that's not working. It's not working. I got alone with God and went into the Bible, and God showed me, you're doing it wrong, Pastor. Discipleship is not a program, it's a lifestyle. And so what we are doing now all over the world is trying to train people how to live that lifestyle. And today, if you come back for our D-Life Boot Camp, I'm not here to give you a new program. Hallelujah, praise God, right? We don't need any more new programs. So I'm not going to give you a new program. If you come today for the training, my job is to train you how to be a personal disciple maker for the rest of your life. And our goal is when you walk out of that training, you will believe. You'll say, hey, I could do this. And number two, you'll be trained to do it well. You'll be trained to do it just like Jesus did it. And you'll be able to do it anytime, anywhere for the rest of your life. If God were to move you to Alaska, you would be able to start right there, making and multiplying disciples. And so I want us to take the Bible, and if you don't mind, I would ask you to stand with me to honor the reading of God's Word. And let's look at this passage where Jesus began to model what it looks like to live a lifestyle of disciple-making. Verse 13, he went up on a mountain. Now Luke, in his parallel account, tells us what he did on that mountain. He prayed all night long. And then after he came down from the mountain, he called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also called apostles, so that they might be with him and so that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. Heavenly Father, this is your holy word. Give us ears to hear today what your Spirit would say to your church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, there's three simple things I want to share with you about that passage, and we'll be done, all right? And the main idea is that disciple-making is not a program, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that you're called to live, that I'm called to live. And the first thing I want you to see with me about this passage is number one, that disciple-making is our supreme purpose in life. That is our supreme purpose in life. How do we know that? Because Jesus modeled it. When he began his earthly ministry right after his baptism, what was the first thing he did? He went up on a mountain and prayed, and he prayed all night, and it's obvious what he was praying about. He was praying about, God, who do you want me to disciple? Who do you want me to invest my life in? And when he came down from that mountain, he went to them one at a time. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Simon, Bartholomew, Thaddeus. And he said, will you be willing to join me and let me disciple you? Would you be a part of my discipleship group? And there were 12 of them that decided that they wanted to be discipled by Jesus. And so Jesus modeled it. It was his first thing. It was his priority. Most of his, if you read the Gospels, everything Jesus did, do you know who's right there with him? Those 12 men. They're watching him as he ministers, as he heals, as he loves, as he preaches, and he's training them how to do the same thing. Not only is it our supreme purpose in life because Jesus modeled it, but it because he commanded it. Do you realize the first command of Jesus to his followers is found in Matthew 4:19? You know what Matthew 4:19 says. Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's the very first command of Jesus to his followers. It begins with an invitation. follow me. And beloved church, that's the greatest invitation in life. The greatest invitation in life is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I would imagine most of us in this room have already accepted that invitation, right? And we have become followers of Jesus. And all of us who have would say that that is the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. Amen? Can I get an amen? Being a follower of Jesus is the greatest decision I ever made in my life. I was a teenage alcoholic, my life being wrecked by alcohol. I almost took the life of innocent people driving under the influence of alcohol, and I realized that my life was going to be in a damnable place. And it was there that I turned to Christ and became a follower of Jesus Christ. And he changed my life. He set me free from that addiction. The bonds, the chains of addiction were broken through the power of Christ. He called me to preach. And I've been preaching ever since I was 19 years old. Praise God. The greatest decision I ever made was to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I highly recommend it to you. If you've never put your faith in Christ, if you've never made that decision to be a follower of Christ, today's the day. I pray that before you leave this room, you would make that decision. But once you make the decision to be a follower of Christ, Jesus said this. He said, if you follow me, I'm going to change your life. He said, I'm going to transform your life. I'm going to make you into something you're not right now. And then he told us what the end product would be. I'm going to make you into a disciple maker. That's what he meant when he said to a group of fishermen, if you follow me, I'll teach you how to fish for men. When he said, I'll teach you how to fish for men, he was speaking to fishermen, and that was his way of saying, you're going to be a disciple maker. So he told them that if you follow me, here's where it ends up. You'll be a disciple maker. For 3 years, he trained them. And then after he died on the cross and rose from the dead, right before he ascended back to the Father, he gave his final command. His first command is follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Then he trained them. And then he gave his final command in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. After he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he says, I command you to do one thing. We have one job, beloved church. We're commanded to do one thing. There's only one imperative verb in what we call the Great Commission. That one verb is make disciples. We are called to do one thing, make disciples. And in the Great Commission, there are three descriptive participles. In the Greek language, it tells us how. By going, by baptizing, and by teaching. We are to make disciples by going everywhere we go. When we go into our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our schools, we are to be living a life of making disciples. We are not to tell people to come into our church buildings and we'll share with you about Jesus. We're to be going out there to them. We go where the fish are and we make disciples out there. And then when we lead them to become a follower of Christ, then we bring them in the body of Christ for baptizing. That's the second participle. Going, baptizing, and then once they're baptized, the third participle is teaching. We teach them. We disciple them. What do we teach them to do? Jesus said, teach them to do everything I've commanded you to do. What is the one main thing he's commanded us to do? Make disciples. And so we train new disciples how to make disciples. Every disciple should become a disciple maker at some point. And do you realize that's the missing link in our churches today? We have people that have been disciples for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And they keep being discipled. They keep going through one Bible study after another Bible study after another Bible study. And there's certainly nothing wrong with Bible study. But at some point, a disciple is to become a disciple maker. And that is why our church is not reaching our world for Christ. In many cases, we're discipling the already discipled. And we have no way of moving people past that point of from being a disciple to becoming a disciple maker. That is the purpose of D-Life. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we cherish those verses. Matter of fact, we've given them a special name. What do we call those verses? The Great Suggestion, right? The Great Suggestion. No, we should call it the Great Suggestion because that's the way the majority of people treat it. But it's not. It's not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. The second thing I want you to see with me is this. Not only is disciple making our supreme purpose in life, number two, disciple making has a simple plan to follow. It's not hard to be a disciple maker. Jesus made it simple so that those simple men that he called could do it. You realize those guys were just like many of us in this room? That they were just common people. That those people were not pastors or seminary trained. Most of them didn't even have an education. And those were the guys Jesus called. And he said, I can make you a disciple maker. Every one of you in this room could be a disciple maker if you will to be one. Every one of us. Jesus didn't make this hard. It's simple. It's simple. The process is simple. Sometimes it gets messy because we're dealing with people. But to be a disciple maker is a simple process. Now, Jesus modeled it in the context of a discipleship group. He called 12 men to come and do life with him, to be in a discipleship group. For us, a discipleship group could be three or four men, three or four women, three or four couples, three or four teenagers that we disciple. You say, well, Jesus had 12. Exactly. I'm not Jesus. I'm going to back off that a little bit. I've found that I can do about three or five men at a time. And beloved, I do that. That's my life. I live that lifestyle. I'm a pastor of a church, but I'm more than that. I'm a disciple maker. Someday I won't be a pastor of a church. I will get old enough that it'll be time for me to retire. I'll never quit being a disciple maker as long as I live because that's my supreme purpose in life. If I'm 90 and I have my health, I'll be discipling a few men, multiplying one or two out and starting over again. That is what New Testament Christianity is supposed to look like. That's what it looked like before the church ever had any church buildings, before they ever had any budgets. Do you realize the early church didn't have any buildings for about 360 years? Do you realize they didn't have any budgets? They were poor. They lived in poverty. Do you realize the early church literally turned the world upside down? That with no budgets and no buildings, they grew about, for three centuries, they grew at a rate at 40% a year. Historians call it a historical enigma. How did they go from 3,000 to about 34 million by 360 AD in a hostile Roman Empire with no resources? Because they all knew how to do one thing. The one thing Jesus taught them to do. How to make and multiply disciples. The early church was a multiplying disciple-making movement. And the key to revival today, it's not the mega church. It's the many churches of all sizes, anywhere in the world that will recapture the disciple-making movement of the early church. And if we're going to recapture it, it's up to you. What are you going to do? This is our supreme purpose. It is simple. If you will come to the boot camp today, I will teach you a simple process of disciple making modeled after Jesus that is so simple but yet so powerful. It's working all over the world. There are six practices of disciple making that Jesus modeled with his group of disciples. I call it FTPMMA, Fellowship, Teaching, Prayer, Ministry, Multiplication, and Accountability. Now, we're going to dive into each one of those tonight. And this afternoon, I will share with you about the fellowship side, how you get a group, how you build, it's relational. I'll share with you how you can learn how to teach, even if you think you don't have the gift of teaching. You don't have to have the gift of teaching to be a disciple maker. We let the Bible do the teaching. And so you'll learn a very simple way to teach like Jesus that any of us can do. We'll also talk about prayer, how we pray in our groups, and how we go out and do ministry together. You can't disciple people in a classroom only. We have to go outside the walls of the church and do ministry and evangelism together. And you'll learn how to lead a discipleship group that will go out into your community 6 times a year to do ministry and evangelism. You'll learn how to multiply. Jesus said to the men, if you follow me, I'll teach you how to be a disciple maker. If you'll come to the training tonight, every one of you will be able to say to a group of guys or ladies or teenagers, if you let me disciple you, I'll train you how to be a disciple maker. And that's the key to explosive growth. We'll learn how to hold each other accountable. And so I encourage you to come tonight. In John chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus said this. He said, I have given you an example to follow, for you to do just as I have done. Hello. Why do we think we can come up with better ideas to do discipleship than Jesus? What if we just went back and did it exactly like he did it? And that's what we're doing through D-Life. All right, the last thing, third thing, disciple making is our supreme purpose in life. It has a simple process to follow. Third, disciple making has the spiritual power to transform lives. It's simple, but it's not shallow. Jesus had a simple way of training those 12 men, but 11 of those 12 men, their lives were radically changed, and those simple men went on to start a movement that we're still meeting in today. When we disciple men and women and teenagers, their lives are radically changed by the discipling process. And we want to teach you how to do that this evening. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said something pretty remarkable. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, if you follow me, you will do the works that I do. You're going to do the work that I do. But not only that, you're going to do greater works than me. He said, you're going to do greater works than me. Wow. A lot of people have taken that verse out of context and misinterpreted it. And they've said, hey, we're going to do greater miracles than Jesus. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. Wait a minute. Hold on. Jesus walked on water. I've never seen anybody do that. Have you? Jesus spoke to a hurricane and said, be still, and it stopped. Man, I wish we could do that. I wish we could have done that a week ago, right? I've never seen anybody do it but Jesus. Jesus fed 5,000 with little boys' lunch of fish and loaves. I've never seen anybody do that. Jesus didn't just heal a few people. He healed everybody that came to him. And not only that, but there was a man named Lazarus who'd been dead for 4 days. And Jesus called that man back out of the tomb alive again. I've never seen anybody do that. Now listen, all of us in this room know that God is still in the miracle working business. Amen? God is still working extraordinary miracles in the world today. And we see it often when we pray and have faith that God does a great miracle. But I don't think any one person is going to walk around and perform greater miracles than Jesus did. I don't think there's going to be one person that does it. I've never met that person. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say you're going to do greater miracles than me. He said you're going to do a greater work than me. He said, you're going to do the work that I did, and you're going to do greater works than me. What was the one main work that Jesus did in his 3 years of earthly ministry? He took 12 common people just like you and turned them into people that turned the world upside down. Disciple making is the greater work. And if we go back to doing it the way he did it, we can do a greater work than him. Why? Because there was one of him. There's thousands upon thousands of us. He had 3 years. Many of us would have 30, 40, 50 years to make and multiply disciples if we would just do it intentionally. How are we going to do it intentionally? How are we going to learn? When I was 7, a little boy, my dad, who I loved, said to me, Bill, I want to teach you how to fish. And when you're a little boy of 7, you always like doing what your dad likes to do, right? And so I was so excited. I can't tell you how excited I was. So we went to bed and got up the next morning, and we loaded up all of our fishing gear. We put it in the car, and we drove to a little private lake that was on my Uncle Bill's farm. Oh, it's so beautiful. I mean, the lake was beautiful. this big lake stocked with fish. And my dad took me to the very edge of the lake. And he said, "Now, Bill, there's a lot of fish in this lake, and we need to catch them." And, man, I am just chomping at the bit. I'm like, "Man, let's catch them." But I'm thinking, how are we going to catch these fish? And my dad did something for me that was a game changer. He walked over and he put in my hand a rod and a reel. And he said, "Now, Bill, this is called a Zebco 33. He said, "It's the most simple, reliable fishing reel you'll ever use. It'll never break. It hardly ever gets tangled. All you have to do is push the button down and flip your wrist, let go of the button, and you'll be able to cast out the bait." My dad taught me how to reel it at the right pace and how to feel the bump, bump, bump of the fish. He taught me how to set the hook. I kid you not, at 7, about 30 practices, and I was casting out that bait. And I was able that day, for the first time in my life, to catch a fish. And you know what? I could still catch one now all these years later. Because my dad taught me a simple way with the Zebco 33 how to fish for the rest of my life. What I'm glad my dad did not do, I'm glad he didn't take me to the edge of the lake and say, "Now, Bill, there's a lot of fish out there and you need to catch them," and then pat me on the back and say, "Now, you go ahead and get started." Because if he had done that, I would not have had a clue. I'd have probably started wading around in the water looking for a fish. I would have scared them all to the other end of the lake. I would have never seen one. But had I saw one, I would have tried to grab it with my hand, and I would never been able to do that. I would have probably tried that about 30 or 40 times because I was a stubborn little boy. I would have been determined. But eventually, I would have got out, dried off, and kind of walked over to my dad with a dejected look. And I would have said, "Dad, I love you, but I guess fishing is just not my thing. I guess I'm going to have to leave that into the hands of you professionals." That's what we're doing in churches all over the world. We're telling them there's all these lost people out here. We need to reach them. And everybody's like, "Yeah, we do." And then as pastors, we're guilty of patting them on the back and say, "Go get started." And people want to, and they try, but they don't really know how. And they try this, and they try that, and it doesn't really work. And finally, they come back into the church kind of dejected and say, "Well, pastor, we're going to support you. We know you can do it. You're the professionals. We're going to let you do it." But what if? What if we could put a Zebco 33 in your hands and train you how to do it in a way that really worked and that was something that you could do, and you begin to believe that you could do it, and you got excited about doing it like I was as a little boy? You know why I was excited about fishing as a little boy? Because that's what my dad did. You know why every one of us in this room should be excited about being fishers of men and disciple makers? Because that's what our Father called us to do. That's what He wants us to do. That's what He wants all of us to do. And if there's somebody that's here to train you how to do it, I want to tell you, there's no football game this afternoon more important than the training we're going to do in this room right now. I'm going to ask you, to whatever plans you have that keeps you from being here, to be here today. There is a movement taking place, and I want you to join that movement. I grieve with what's going on over in the western part of your state. And I'm praying they're going to rescue more and more people. But you know what I thought about? How many of them have died? How many of them died in this flood? We don't even know the numbers at this point. But even a greater question is, how many of them were not prepared for eternity? How many of the children and the parents died that were not ready to meet Christ? Probably thousands, hundreds. And that is why we need a disciple-making movement that can happen anytime and anywhere. What we're going to do today is not dependent on your location, the size of your church, or the resource that you have. It is a movement that can reach our world for Christ if we're just willing to join the movement. Let me ask you in closing, are you a follower of Jesus? If you're not, I would just say today, I pray that today would be the day. You can make that decision right now. Jesus said, "Follow me." And if you will choose to follow Him He can change your life. He can break the bonds of addiction. He can take away the emptiness. He can give you eternal life in heaven. I invite you today to become a follower of Christ. If you are a follower of Christ, Jesus said, then I will make you a fisher of men. Are you fishing? Are you a disciple maker? Have you learned how to make and multiply disciples? If not, are you willing to learn? If so, I pray that you will come today. Would we bow our heads across the room? Can we all bow our heads and pray? If you're here today and you've never become a follower of Jesus, you've never been baptized, you've never made that commitment for real, do you realize you're one heartbeat away from eternity? You're one experience away, one catastrophe away. I would pray that today would be the day that you would make that decision. I want to invite you to come to Christ right now. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I need you. I need you so much. I put this off far too long, but today is the day. With all of my heart right now, I believe in you, Jesus. I put my faith in your death and in your burial and in your resurrection for me. I take you to be my Lord and Savior. Help me to turn away from my sins. Break the chains of my worldly addictions. And help me to follow you from this day forward to the rest of my life. By faith, right now, I receive your forgiveness and I receive your gift of eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, I'm going to ask our pastors to come up. If you pray that prayer, hallelujah. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And if you prayed that prayer, I want you to come and let your pastor know. Just come and take him by the hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. But come and say, hey, pastor, today I made the decision to be a follower of Christ. I'm not ashamed. I want to follow Christ for the rest of my life. Maybe God's leading you to come and join the church. Maybe God's leading you to recommit your life. Maybe God's leading you to go to the table there after the service and sign up for our D-Life Boot Camp this afternoon. Whatever God's leading you to do, as our worship team sings, as we stand before God, let's do what He leads us to do. Let's stand together. Let's worship Him. Let's obey His voice.
So good, God. Good. Let me ask you to have a seat for just a moment. We got some announcements to make, but before we even do the announcements, I want to ask you to do something. Everybody have one of these cards at your seats. These cards right here. I'm going to ask everyone to go ahead and fill this card out one way or another. But just basically, if you did accept the Lord, I encourage you to put a mark by there. I accepted Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. Why would I ask you to do that? Because we want to follow up with you in all honesty. You can't do this alone. There's no Lone Rangers, and we need to help you to know how to live the Christian life. But also, if you want to attend a D-Life training, you can check that box also. But I'd also ask you to go back there and just sign that clipboard back there, because that just gives me a heads up, because we're going to feed you too. And I need to know how much food to make for you. I'm cooking. So you all got to let me know, all right? And it's at 4 p.m. You're going to eat a good meal. I made barbecue. Just FYI, I made barbecue. So I slaughtered some pig. The other one is I want to join a D-Life group. I want to join a D-group. Yeah, many of you are not in D-groups yet. We need D-groups. We had a lot of D-groups before the pandemic had awakened. And, we got away from doing them after that because of things that happened. I want to get back to it. Stephanie and I were talking just yesterday about how it was rocking. I think we had 12 groups meeting. And we don't have that. We've got a couple meeting, three or four, And I want to see more. And if you listen, I wrote a note back here. There's some of you doing D Life, and you say, "Well, I'm doing D Life. I don't need to come." Yeah, you do. And here's the reason why: because you're doing it wrong. I know how you're doing it. Some of you guys. There's a way to do this. There's a process, and you need to learn how to do it right. So I'd ask you to come tonight and do that. We all need training. I need training. So I like what he said. He took 12 common men. I like to say he took 12 ordinary men and turned them into extraordinary men, extraordinary men. And that's what he wants to do with us. So fill this card out. What I want you to do right now is fill this card out. If you don't have a pen, borrow someone's. And then I want you to pass them. Please pass them to that way. This side over here, pass them to that aisle. Joey, I need you to pick them up for me, okay? Thank you very much. So if you got them filled out, just start filling them out. Pass them over that way. Over here, you're going to pass them this way. Over here, you're going to pass them this way. And Scott, I need you to pick them up for me, okay? Yeah, so go ahead and do that. While I'm doing the announcements, y'all fill those out and send them over there. I know Roy's got a couple announcements he wants to make also. But let me do mine first, and then I'm going to come on up here and join me. A boot camp, of course, 4 o'clock today. Another announcement, we've got Samaritan's Purse. This is for both our churches. We are packing boxes. Let's get packing. Let's get packing. Let's get them going. We want to bless families. I guarantee you that Samaritan's Purse is going to be delivering a lot of boxes this year up into the Western North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia area. I guarantee a lot of them are going to be going there too. So keep that in mind. Throw the next announcement up for me, please. We have a worship night. Nope, I'm sorry. The volunteer appreciation dinner, that is next Saturday night. All of you that volunteer at Awakened Church, I want you to sign up back in the back. There's a sign up for that. We love to appreciate you. We love to appreciate you. And we're going to put on a very, very special night for you. The staff is the entertainment. I don't know what that's going to look like, but we're the entertainment, and we're going to bless you for volunteering. Whether you volunteered at VBS or greeting, doesn't matter. Wherever you volunteer, we want you to come. So sign up, be a part of that. And I've got one more announcement. I think that's our worship night, man. And Central, you're welcome to come to this too. We have a worship night coming up. I believe it's what, the 25th? Yes, October 25th, 7 p.m. in here. And it's going to be an amazing night. And the theme is, he's still here. He's still here. So I'm going to hand it back to Roy. Remember, we got our tithes and offerings. I know that Roy's box is over there by the door, the big, big box. We got a little red box right here. You can drop your offerings off right there, or you can give them online also. After you're done, I think they have somebody else that needs to make an announcement. So
I was looking at that worship night announcement, and I saw that there was a good-looking guy with a guitar, and I was like, why is that guy right here behind me? Marcus, there you go. Well, you know what? I'm trying to get points. Hey, guys, I just wanted, particularly for our Central folks, I just wanted to mention that as far as the Central ladies, Connect ladies, did just a great job. Mari wanted to thank you guys for the baked goods that you all have baked, as well as the Bibles that were collected. Matter of fact, over 100 loaves of bread, cookies, brownies, banana bread, all these things, 200 Bibles. Steve was actually going to be doing chaplaincy work with North Carolina Baptist Men in the Mountains. Ladies, thank you for all that you have done. These will be handed out one by one as a disciple. Because what's really cool about this as well is Steve Kelly's D Group is the one who has sponsored the get together for this as their mission project. So that's just another thing that you can take a look at D Life in action. That's what those groups are doing, and what a blessing and what a privilege for that. So Mari wanted to just thank everybody for their generosity and support. We also have some collection sites going on this week if you want to bring stuff here. Yeah, I've always said this. If you want to bring stuff, that's fine. There's no Central and there's no Awaken. It's God's brothers and sisters in Christ. We work together, and that's really what it's all about. So if you guys want to bring stuff to these things, that's great. We're working together on that, and we'll do the same because I know Jim's got some things that are going to be going on as well. So don't forget that. Tonight, D-Light Boot Camp, 4 o'clock. Please come and be a part. Listen, it's hard to sit here and say, well, this is not what God told me to do. You just saw it in His Word. And I do want to tell you, it will be, you don't have to come in here. It's not a seminary class. You're going to find how simple it is to do what God has asked us to do. And when you get in those D groups, I promise you, you'll make relationships that are going to last forever. But it's not about sticking with each other till Jesus comes back. You got to step out and you got to multiply. That's the really great part about it. Just want to give a couple things. We're going to be doing disaster recovery and relief drop off Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We've got some times there. If you want to know what those are, please let me know. I've got them here like 3 to 5. And then also 6:30 on tomorrow, then Tuesday 3 to 6, and then Wednesday 3 to 6 as well. Don't forget, our Cuba mission team is making preparations for our 2025 mission trip, February 28th through March the 7th. And then once again, don't forget Operation Christmas Child. We have boxes that are around here. If you see them, we want to encourage you to use those. The nice part is Awaken will have an in-gathering time. Central will have an in-gathering time. But we're also a regional collection site. So we want to encourage you, use those boxes that are out there. They pack easier, but we want to try to fill this gym up. So we have to get all kinds of trucks coming back and forth to just be able to get these gifts to kids that have never, and families that have never had them before. Once again, as a reminder, I'm going to turn it over to you. Awaken, your offering collection box is a little red box, which is in its normal location. And for those that are part of Central, you know, we can't get out of here. Good Baptists always take an offering. Ours is the wooden box over by the door. So now if you don't want to mix that up, Jim will be yelling at me and I'll be yelling at him. So we'll make sure we get it going the right way, as well as disaster relief donations. I think both churches are taking those at this particular point. And we will make sure 100% of what you give goes to those relief efforts. We promise you that. So God bless you. I love you. I look forward to seeing you here at 4 o'clock this evening as we do the D-Life together.
Thank you, Pastor Roy. And just so you know, that I'm glad you mentioned about the offering for disaster relief for Awaken. If you have money that you want to give to disaster relief to a Baptist on mission, there's a basket on that table back there. You can drop it in that basket instead of dropping it in there. Now, if you write a check, you can drop it in the red box. It's designated disaster relief. Also, I just need to say this real quickly to our folks. You brought, we had a 12-foot trailer and a truckload of stuff that went up yesterday. Marcus drove it up. And they actually were taking it to Alliance Christian Fellowship, and they got diverted from Alliance Christian Fellowship. They said, go deeper. They went deeper into Avery County, where people are not being met, and we were able to deliver all kinds of incredible supplies, but we're not done. Some of you have said, are we still collecting? Yeah, because we're working with Central now to fill this truck up that's going to probably go up on Thursday. And you heard the drop-off time, so you got stuff, bring it. Between 3 and 6 p.m. at the front doors, be there. Bring your stuff. Bring your stuff, and let's fill another truck, and let's keep doing this, all right? I think it's great. Do you have an announcement that you said you wanted to make? I thought there was an announcement. No? I thought there was.
Hello? It's Pastor Appreciation Week this week, so if you're from Awaken, we're going to send out a text today with some details, but we're so thankful for all the pastors, for Roy, everyone here, and we will celebrate official Pastor Appreciation Day next Sunday, so there will be more details to come today.
Thank you. All right, let's stand to our feet real quickly, and let's get ready to leave. Hey, would everybody tell Bill how much you appreciate him bringing the word to us today? Thank you, Bill. Awesome. Pastor Bill, we appreciate you so much, and what do we always say at the end? We don't just go to church. No, go be the church. God bless you. Have a great day.
You are so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God. You're so good.